Look at somebody and say, I'm glad you're here too. Now, look at Jesus and say, Jesus, most of all, I'm glad you're here. Jesus, we worship you tonight and we glorify your name. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I glorify your name. Jesus, it is your presence that we seek. It is your presence we're hungry for. Jesus, I love you. I adore you, Jesus. I glorify your name. You're the Lord over this school. You're the Lord over these classes tonight. We bless your name, Jesus. I worship you. I worship you, Jesus. I love you so much. I glorify you. And Lord Jesus, it is my choice to bow in submission to your lordship, to bow in submission to your will, Father, so that everything you want done will be done. Holy Spirit, you are free to move in this place. We yield to you, Holy Spirit. Move with the anointing of God, with the glory of God, to fulfill the purpose and the plan of God in this place tonight. We worship you and glorify you. And Jesus, we praise you now for the great work that's going to be accomplished in this place tonight. Glory and honor to you, Lord Jesus. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'll tell you what, I've been in Bible college courses where they didn't seem to be too concerned about whether or not Jesus was there. I'm concerned about whether or not Jesus is here. I want His presence here. I want to feel His presence in this place and know that He is moving and touching and ministering. Just a few things before we go further into this. When you walked in the door, you saw the table, and the table had the syllabus and so forth on it, and you saw the little order forms with the envelopes for the tape albums. You saw the example or the sample of the tape album there. If you want that, it's totally up to you. It's just kind of an added convenience if you're storing your tapes on a shelf or what have you. And those albums are only $4, and they do come with the inserts. Then also, as far as the books are concerned, for those who are GMBI students, the books are $11. I think that information is back there. If you want to get extra copies of this book, you can. And again, it's only $11. We try not to discount them too much because we don't want to make the bookstores mad at us. Because we don't have an official bookstore and we want cooperation because sometimes, well really, we go through bookstores to buy because we don't buy in such huge quantities that we get publisher discounts. That day is coming, hallelujah. But right now, we try to work with the bookstores and so forth. So, and this is an excellent book. As you guys go through and read this, we'll talk more about it here in just a few moments. This is an excellent book. And for those of you that maybe weren't at the orientation, I guess maybe I should introduce myself and those watching by video. My name is Jim Martin, Dr. Jim Martin. I'm the president of Grace Ministries Bible College. And it looks as though I will be teaching all of your courses this year. So you're going to like it or you're not, praise the Lord. But it looks like I'll be teaching. We're recording on video all of the classes for the first time. We haven't had this before, and I praise the Lord for this because it's going to enhance what we're able to do throughout this world. This Bible college is expanding tremendously. We have literally have students all throughout the United States and other nations, and we are looking at the possibility of opening some extension campuses in some other nations. So God is doing some powerful things, and I just praise the Lord that you're a part of it. Also, you saw the offering envelope back there, offering envelopes along with the offering plate. And just again want to encourage you, it's your responsibility to pray, to seek God, purpose in your heart, what you'll give in support of this school, because we are not charging you for tuition or the initial copy of the textbook that you get, extras, you know, do cost. We're not charging you for the tapes and so forth, but it is your responsibility. And we just trust that you're going to be obedient to God and give. And keep in mind that your giving does help other students literally throughout the world be students in the Bible college, because we have inmates in prisons all throughout the country, and they flat out just don't have money. And in some cases, their families don't want anything to do with them, but their lives have been changed. They've been turned on to Jesus. They're loving God. We have one student in a prison that, quite frankly, if there's not a miracle move of God, he will die in prison. That's how long his sentence is. But he's firmly convinced he's called to be a pastor. And he wrote to me, he said, Brother Martin, I am going to fulfill my calling here in this prison. So great things are happening, and as you help in your giving, we're able then to continue to supply the materials to prisons. We've had, we have actually had prison chaplains contact us in writing and by phone call and tell us that they are seeing changes in inmates right before their very eyes. They're seeing things take place spiritually, and they just wanted to thank us for helping the inmates grow in their relationship with God. So I just wanted you to know that your giving is helping beyond just this local campus. It's literally helping throughout the world. And I want to thank you ahead of time for your giving. We're never going to put pressure on you from time to time. Might just throw out a little reminder thanking you again for your giving, but there will not be pressure on you for money. And I can tell you that I have never looked at the giving record, so I have no idea what students give what. That, again, is between you and the Lord. And, you know, if you're not obedient to Him, well, then I guess you'll have to talk with Him about that someday. But you don't answer to me. Praise the Lord. Well, this is TH 101, the gifts of the Spirit and the church. And the course objectives are to examine in Scripture the validity of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Number two, to consider various objections to the operation of those gifts in the modern church. Such objections will be scrutinized to verify or refute their legitimacy in light of Scripture and proper contextual use. To determine, number three, to determine whether or not the gifts of the Spirit are truly God's will for the church today. Now, I know some of you may be sitting there thinking, why in the world are we having a course like this? I'll get to that in just a moment. The credit value for this course, 3 credit hour values. The course textbook, as of this teaching, I don't know if that'll change in the future, but for right now, the course textbook is 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity by Eddie L. Hyatt. Now, the reason I said that I don't know if that'll change in the future, every now and then we've run into situations to where the books have been out of print that we used to use, and we've had to make a change in what book we use or even if we continue to use a book. So as of this recording, this particular book is our textbook. And again, I can tell you, this is a tremendous textbook. There is so much history in this book. It's almost like this book picks up the history of the church when the book of Acts comes to an end and goes forward from there over the last 2,000 years. So I really believe you're going to enjoy this book. Your course requirements. Number one, read the textbook and the book of Acts in the King James Version. Listening to the Bible on tape or CD or reading in another version will not apply. Now, some people have asked about that. And just to clarify here at the beginning, we're not necessarily King James only, but I guess you could say we're King James primarily. And by staying with one version of the Bible, it helps maintain continuity in everything that we do. So you may prefer another version. That's, you know, up to you. And we'll talk about some of those things later on, in not in this course, maybe in a later course. It's just that the assignment must be completed with the King James. If you're a correspondence student, you must also listen to every class tape prior to taking the exam. All of this, the reading and so forth, the credit value is 30 points. Number two, you write a 10-page paper using the textbook, Bible, syllabus, and any class notes. Now, if this is handwritten, it must be printed 20 pages long, skipping every other line. So the 10 pages is based on the assumption you're going to use a computer. Nowadays, most people use computers. The inmates don't, and some others don't, but the 10 pages. And this 10 pages is all-inclusive, because if you remember, when you read through the handbook, you saw the instructions on how to write a paper. There's a cover sheet, your bibliography. Okay, the 10 pages includes everything from cover sheet to bibliography. So it's not just 10 pages of content and then extra pages for the cover sheet. That 10 pages is all-inclusive. Same thing for the handwritten 20 pages. And the subject matter for this particular paper, it's to be written from the following perspective. A friend has come to you and asked if the gifts of the Holy Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10, are still in operation and if they are available to any and all Christians. Your paper is to be your answer to this question. Please refer to the student handbook for guidelines on how to write your paper, maximum value 30 points. And for GMBI student parallel and GMBI electives students, you must write a 2 to 3 page letter explaining how they benefited from this course. Now, this letter is not going to be graded. It's just simply a matter of maintaining communication, helping us to understand what you grasp in the course, so on and so forth. So it's not, that letter is not being written for the purpose of getting a grade. It's just, it helps us, it helps you. Now, as far as the paper is concerned, I know that over the years, we've had several students come and express real concerns about writing this paper. Brother Martin, you just don't understand. It's been 30 years since I was in school. I can't write a paper. I just, well, now, wait a minute. Did you pray and ask God if you should be in this Bible college? Well, yeah. What did He tell you? He said to come and attend. Okay, then He must know you can write the paper. Now, one of the things that has helped a lot of the students is write the paper according to the guidelines in the handbook, but write it as though you're writing a letter to somebody. And just imagine that this, as far as this paper is concerned, that this person has written to you or called you or whatever, and they've asked you this question about the gifts of the Spirit. So instead of just, you know, verbally telling them, you're going to put in writing something that they can have in their hand, read, research with Scripture, so on and so forth. So just imagine that you're writing a letter to somebody. You're just using a format that's revealed to you in the handbook. And I think if you maintain that perspective, it's going to make it easier to write all of the papers. Just keep in mind, I'm writing a letter to a friend. And we've actually had some people, some students, when they've written their paper, they've actually written literally written as a letter. They've created an imaginary person. They've used somebody's name. Well, Bob, I'll answer this question for you. That kind of a thing. And if that helps you, that's fine. And another thing I want to tell you about these papers, do your best. Do your absolute best on these papers. Because this Bible college is geared to help you not only discover what your ministry calling is, but also to help you fulfill that calling, no matter what that calling would be. The papers that you write, sooner or later, may become the lessons that you teach or the sermons that you preach. And this has happened more than once, and students have come to me and they've said, I am so glad that I held onto these papers, or, you know, something along that line. One particular student, where he works, somebody came up to him and said, you know, I've got some questions about some things, about something spiritual issue. He said, you know, I want to ask you. And so he asked the question, and this person said, you know what? I've got something that's going to help you. And so he made a copy of the course paper that he had written that actually dealt with that subject. And he gave it to him. And the guy read it and came back a few days and said, man, this is awesome. This is incredible. Can I get copies from some of my friends? He said, well, sure. He said, do you have anything else like this? He said, absolutely. So these papers that you're writing, it's not just for the Bible college. God has shown me that these papers are continual preparation for you, for Him to be able to more effectively use you in ministry. So everything about this school is ongoing, continued preparation, spiritual development, for God to be able to use you more fully in everything He's called you to do. So keep that in mind in all of your reading and in all of the papers that you write. This isn't just another Bible college. Put it this way, it is a ministry training center that's called a college, if that helps you to grasp a better concept of what we're doing here. Now, for some of you, when we printed these, the syllabus, this is a reprint, the third point might be left off of your syllabus. And the point number three is one exam will be given at the end of the course, and it'll have a maximum of 40 points. So you're only going to have one paper to write, only one exam to take, and that's going to be at the end after everything has been taught. Now, for those of you, I'm going to give you the due date for your paper, and the due date is going to be the first week of TH-102. So in other words, we're going to go through all of the course here, and then you're going to have a full week after the teaching to complete the paper. Now, depending upon the way that the course goes, we may, the exam will either be taken the last night of class, or we may let you take it home and complete it at home if we use up that last night, all three sessions, for teaching. So I just wanted to pass that along to you, that you may be able to take the exam home with you. We'll let you know as time goes on. And the exam is open syllabus, open Bible. Quite frankly, I don't see how anybody could ever mess up on these exams. But inevitably, they do. And the reason they do is because they don't pay attention in class. They don't read. They just don't absorb what's being taught. And it's not that we're trying to make it easy for you, but it's that God has shown me every aspect of what we do it's like it's an ongoing exam of the integrity of the student. Meaning, how simple can you make it for somebody to learn? This is about as simple as it gets. And you're earning college credit in the process. Think about this. And God has shown me through much prayer how that what we do here, it's not only answering the prayers of many Christians. Oh, God, if I only had the opportunity to go to school, you know, can't afford it. And he says, well, we're going to deal with that. You can go to this college and they're not going to charge you tuition. I'll charge you if you pray and, you know, I'll tell you what to give. But they're not going to charge you. And it's as accessible as anything. You're not going to find another school like this anywhere. I don't care where you go. You absolutely are not. But God designed it this way for a purpose, so that Christians anywhere on this planet can attend this school and get the same quality education, doesn't matter where they are. And everything that we do here is geared toward helping you develop yourself in Christ so that you can conform more to His image and fulfill what He's called you to do. Now, in the effort to assure that course material is covered in its entirety, all questions are to be submitted in writing. In other words, don't raise your hand to ask a question because we won't take questions. I learned the hard way several years ago when I was teaching at another university. When you teach physics or history or other mechanical engineering, whatever it would be, people are there and they're learning something they didn't know before. But in a Bible college or a Christian university, when you're teaching theological subject matter, like what we do here, most all of the students have some experience in church, whether they were raised as a child in church or they've been in church the last 5 years or whatever. Typically, most of the subjects that are covered, they've heard teaching about it. And what that means is everybody seems to have their own opinions about what's being taught. And those opinions are based on what somebody has told them to think, not necessarily what they've gotten from Scripture. And I learned the hard way that when you open up for questions, just like this, everybody starts speaking out their opinion. Yes, but don't you think, and, you know, that's it. You've lost control of the class. You know, you might as well just let it roll and then pick up where you left off next time. So that's why that all the questions need to be submitted in writing. And if we don't get to the question the night it's submitted, then we'll get to it like the next week and cover it from that perspective. Don't forget about your practicum. I want to mention that now. Again, inevitably, we have students that put this off to the last minute. The handbook describes the practicum. Don't forget about that. Now, as far as this course is concerned, let me share a little bit here. When I was praying, it was back in 98, 99. During that time period, God really began dealing with me about opening a Bible college. And through continued prayer, He began to give me the system for the Bible college, the operation, the theme, I mean, everything that we were to do. Well, that was great, but I needed the courses because I've attended other schools. And I didn't want to just teach what everybody else teaches. That is so common. When I began to examine not just the curriculum from the schools that I had attended, but also began examining the curriculum from other schools, you know, Christian colleges and universities, I began to see this common theme among them, how that everybody seemed to teach the same thing. And in some cases, the descriptions of the courses were almost identical. So I went to God and I said, look, I don't have a problem teaching what everybody else is teaching. And inevitably, when you're teaching the Bible, you're going to be teaching on faith. You're going to be teaching on healing. I mean, these things are just going to come up. But I went to God and I said, look, I've had this experience and I don't want to just copy what everybody else does. I want to know that what we're doing is what you want done. So I need you to help me with this. Do you want me to teach this subject, that subject? What do you want? And so I'm praying about this and He begins giving me the courses that were to be taught in the very first year. And so after I had the courses, I knew that we would have 9 courses and then the practicum would be basically the experiential type of course. So I have these 9 courses that we're supposed to teach the first year. I said, okay. So I began putting them in the order that I thought they should be taught. And, you know, and the course we're going to start tonight, I had that like in the middle of the school year. And I'm praying about this. He says, no, that course has got to be first. And I said, well, the thing is, most of the students coming in are probably going to have their own, this probably isn't going to be that imperative to them. I mean, I don't understand, God, why does it? He says, no, it has to be first. You know, this course has to be first. I said, okay, I don't fully understand why at this point, but that's what we'll do. This will be the first course we're taught. We will teach. Well, when we opened, the very first night, as I'm standing there teaching, I immediately saw why this course had to be first. I understood it. It was so clear to me. And because, see, a lot of folks that believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit or baptized with the Holy Ghost or whatever your favorite term is, with the evidence of speaking in tongues and all of that. See, a lot of folks, they would look at a course like this and think, well, I don't need this. However, by the time that that course was over, the very first year, I had folks that had been raised in like Pentecostal churches or whatever. They're coming to me and saying, thank you for teaching this. Now I understand things I never understood before. And this will become more clear to you as we go further on in this. But, you know, for me, I was not raised to believe in the gifts of the Spirit being for today. I was raised in a Baptist church. And, I mean, my earliest memories as a child include being in church. I mean, every time the doors open, Mom and Dad had us in church, and I was the oldest of the three kids. We were there all the time. Mom and Dad were involved. They, you know, would teach different classes and so forth. And, you know, Dad served in this area and Mom served in that area. Just, you know, my whole life, it wasn't consumed by church, but church was like a central theme in everything that we did. So I was raised in church. And I was raised hearing, you must be born again. Knew all about, you know, Jesus dying on the cross. And I'd heard this. It was just deeply ingrained in me. And I knew these things. And, you know, Mom and Dad sometimes would take us to the church when they had to go there maybe during the week or on a Saturday to clean, whatever. So here we are. We're surrounded in this church atmosphere. And the people loved God. There was no question whether or not they loved Jesus. They absolutely did. But when it came to the issue of being filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you know, we were opposed to that. And it wasn't that we hated the people who believed otherwise, it's just that we felt they were wrong and that we were right. So I was raised in that kind of church atmosphere to believe that the gifts of the Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that all of this, it had passed away. You know, it wasn't for today. It wasn't, you know, something that God did today. Died out with the apostles, you know, whatever the various reasons were, and we use different scripture and so forth. You know, tongues are of the devil. I'm sure you've all heard that. So I was raised to believe that. And I tell you what, I was good at believing that. I was absolutely convinced that we knew what we were talking about. And in many cases, we did, because we got a lot of people born again. So I'm raised in that, and as I got older, I got involved and was, you know, in the youth group and so forth, not just attending, but was a central figure in the youth group. Not because I wanted to, I mean, but it just happened. It just happened to where, you know, I became involved and, you know, did this and oversaw this thing, was involved accomplishing this thing here and so on and so forth. And I can remember that we did not... How can I say this? We did not believe that the people who professed to have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we did not believe they were right, but we did believe they could be born again. We just believed they were a little confused in that area over there. Well, the day came when I just, like so many other people, I drifted away from God. Now, I had truly been born again, and I mean, I can remember the night that I got born again. It was on a Sunday night. It was in August. It was a Sunday night in August. I was just a young teenager, about 13. And we came home from church, because we had Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Came home from church that night and went to bed. And I remember this. I mean, as I'm telling this, I'm envisioning this whole thing all over again. You know how it is. And so I'm there in my bed. And for whatever reason, I don't know why I did it this way, but I kind of got on my knees in my bed and pulled the sheet up over my head. and prayed to be born again. And I meant it. I mean, I meant it with everything in me. There's no way I could have meant it anymore. I wanted to be a Christian. I wanted to be saved. And so I prayed, and it wasn't until, you know, weeks later that I went, made a public profession, you know, went forward, you know how it is. But the years went by, and I began to make some wrong choices. And I got into some sin. I mean, I really got away from God. Did a lot of things that I shouldn't have. Did a lot of things, you know, thank God I didn't get caught, because a lot of the things that I did were major crimes. And I was just out there living however I wanted to live. Yet I never turned my back on God. What I mean by that is this. I never denied His existence. I still believe that Jesus was the Son of God. I just was choosing not to live for Him. And I know some people have different opinions about, well, do you think you lost your salvation? I'm not here to talk about that. I'm just saying this. I look back over my life and during that time period, and I'll just tell you, I have a hard time believing that if I had died in the midst of doing some of the things I was doing, that God would have welcomed me into heaven. I mean, I'm just glad I'm where I am now. Praise the Lord. So anyway, you know, I go through this time in my life, and one of the things that I did, I played a whole lot of softball. I was playing softball every night, played on some really good teams, lots of trophies. They're in boxes up in the attic now. And I was always looking for more opportunities to play. Well, Mom and Dad had switched churches, which was a shock to me because we had been raised in this one particular church, big church. And to hear that they had changed churches just was, I mean, that we're talking earth-shattering here. And they told me, I can remember talking to Mom about this, and she said, you know, I just began to feel like there's got to be more out there than what we've heard to this point. She wasn't criticizing the church we'd been a part of. She wasn't criticizing the pastor or the other people. She just said, there's got to be more, and I don't know what it is. Well, she began watching Christian television. At that time, the primary Christian programming was the 700 Club. You remember the 700 Club years ago? Well, that pretty much was it, at least around this area. She began to watch that and began to watch Pat Robertson, begin to hear teaching about things concerning the Holy Spirit that we'd never heard before. And as she's listening to this, she's thinking, yeah, there is something about this. So they began seeking for a church that taught along those lines. They called the 700 Club, and the 700 Club said, well, there's a church in your area, and told them which one it was. So Mom and Dad began attending that church. It wasn't a very old church, maybe 3, 4, 5 years old, something like that. And when I heard that they were going to that church, I asked her, well, do they have a softball team? And she said, well, it's funny you should ask that, because there was an announcement in the bulletin that they were going to start a softball team for the first time. And I thought, okay. So I figured I would start attending that church just enough to be able to play on the softball team. Well, what I didn't know was that this was one of those full gospel churches, Spirit-filled or charismatic or Pentecostal, I don't know, whatever term you like the best. It was one of those kind of churches. I'd never been to a church like that. I mean, I was always raised, you know, good old Baptist church, pull out the hymnal and, you know, sing a few songs and take the offering, and preacher preaches, and maybe the choir sings a song somewhere along in there, and then at the end of the sermon, you sing Just As I Am 57 times till somebody comes forward and either gets born again or rededicates, and then you go to lunch. that was my experience, all right? And so I asked Mom, well, when are their service times and so forth, and she told me. So I remember I walked in, and they were holding services in a school, in the gymnasium of the school. And there must have been, I don't know, maybe 250, 300 people there. And I walked in, and I kind of sat toward the back. I mean, if I could take, I could take you over there to that building and show you almost exactly where I was sitting at that time. They don't use it for the sanctuary anymore. But anyway, I go to the service, and I'm there, and they start their praise and worship, which is really different for me. And there, you know, they're singing and, you know, keeping time, clapping. Now, we never did that, okay? Never. And I'm thinking, well, you know, this is different. And but I don't know that I can really criticize it, because they seem to be really wanting to worship the Lord. And the songs were being flashed up on a screen. This is, you know, before these fancy projectors here. They used the overhead projector and the transparency film, okay? And so they, you know, put the words and they're shining up there on a screen. And now remember, I was raised in church. And I really had a knowledge of the Bible. And so as they're singing and I'm listening, and I wasn't really getting into it, okay? I'm standing there. I'm letting them do all the clapping for me. And I'm watching this, the words they're singing, and I am paying close attention. Now, I'm living like a heathen, okay? But I'm paying close attention to what these people are singing, because I want to know if they're right on or not. I'm reading the words they're singing, and I'm thinking, oh man, some of these, this is straight from the Bible. They're singing like verses from Psalms. They're singing the Bible. We never sang like this. And we never did it this way, but I really can't criticize, because how can you criticize somebody who's singing Scripture? It was just different to me. So I thought, okay, well, I guess I can approve of this, like I'm in a position, right? And I go along. So, you know, they do the fast songs, and then they kind of went to a couple of medium songs, and then they got to the slow songs, okay? And I don't remember what they sang, but, you know, songs like I Exalt Thee, you know, slow songs, real worshipful songs like that. And, man, they're worshiping. And they got their hands lifted, which is another thing that we never did. They got their hands lifted. They're singing these songs, these worship songs. And I can tell they're really sincere. And as they keep worshiping and worshiping, then they get to a point to where they're no longer singing the words on the screen, but it's like everybody is singing their own song to the Lord. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. I glorify your name. You're Jesus, and I praise you. You know what I'm talking about. It's what we refer to as free worship here in our church. And now I got to tell you, that was very different for me. And it wasn't that I felt uncomfortable. It's just, I knew I had walked into something that was way different from anything I had ever known. So as they're doing this, again, this is, we never did it this way. But at the same time, on the inside, I could not criticize. Though it was new, something I had never experienced, on the inside, I knew, how in the world can I fault these people for lifting their hands and just, I love you, Jesus, praise your holy name, you are exalted, O Lord, I glorify. How can I fault that? I'm not used to it, but how can I fault somebody doing this? So again, you know, I'm just standing here and I'm watching all of that. And this went on for a while. Well, it began to get quiet. And just they began to just kind of get softer and softer. Then all of a sudden, nobody was saying a word. It was completely quiet. And everybody was just standing there. Well, I didn't know what to do, so I was standing with everybody else. And I mean, you could have heard a pin drop. All of a sudden, as I'm standing, somebody over there began speaking in tongues. And as they did, I am telling you, something came over me. Now, you've got to keep in mind, the night before, I was probably out smoking dope, chasing skirts. Something came over me. And as I honestly, I was afraid to move. I felt the presence of God in a way I had never felt it my entire life. And I honestly was afraid to move. I felt like if I had moved, that I was going to show incredible disrespect to God Himself, that He might strike me dead. That's how I felt at that moment. And on the inside of me, I heard these words. It was like me talking to myself. I am hearing the voice of God as this person speaking in tongues over here. And I'd always been taught this was wrong. I had always been taught this stuff, you know, like of the devil. I'd always been taught this stuff had died out. I'd always heard it wasn't for today. And now all of a sudden, here I am in a church service where all these people have done is praise Jesus the whole time. All they've done is lifted their hands and worshiped Him the whole time. And then when given the opportunity, they began to worship Him out of their own heart. Their own song. Sing, I love you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord. I worship you. That's what's been going on the entire time I'm there. And this presence, this holy, incredible presence of God is just surrounding me so much. I feel like I'm like standing before His throne. And on the inside I hear this, I'm hearing the voice of God. And it was tongues. I'm thinking, there, on the inside, there's this, but this isn't supposed to be for today. But I can't deny what I'm feeling and what I'm experiencing. Yes, but it's not supposed to be for today. Yes, however, God's presence is filling this place unlike any service you've ever been in your entire life. Yeah, but I don't understand. But this is God speaking. This on the inside, this thing going back and forth. And man, I'm just standing there. Well, this person, they spoke in tongues, just not a whole long time. And after they finished, it was quiet again, just, you know, a few moments. And then I think it was the pastor that gave the interpretation of the tongues. Now, see, here's the thing. Growing up, I knew what the Bible said relative to, or that the Bible mentioned the concept of tongues and interpretation of tongues, okay? I knew that that was mentioned in Scripture. So when that took place, the person speaking in tongues and then the other person giving the interpretation, immediately I knew in my mind that this was something that I knew about from reading the Bible. However, I had always been taught this was not at all real, that it wasn't for today, that it didn't happen today. And yet, when I'm in a church experiencing God in a way I've never experienced Him, having been out partying the night before, and then He honors my presence like this? I mean, think about this. I know everybody else was worshiping, but He, how can I say this? It was like He welcomed me into His presence, knowing what I had done the night before. He included me in this, and He let me feel His presence, knowing ahead of time that I would leave that church, come back, attend just enough to play on the softball team, but still continue my evil ways, if you will. In other words, what I'm saying is that experience still didn't convince me to turn around and get back right with God. But God, He knew that ahead of time. He knew how I would respond ahead of time. He knew what was going to happen over the next several months and a year or two after that moment. He knew what was going to happen, but still, it was like He said, Jim, you've come here into a church where people welcome me into their sanctuary in a way that few churches do. And Jim, I know what you did last night, and I don't approve. Now, I already know what you're going to be doing when you leave here the next few months. I already know what you're going to do. But in spite of that, I want you to know that I love you, and you're going to have an experience with me today, even if you don't fully embrace it. And He did that for me. Well, let me tell you, over the days and weeks to come, months that I attended to be able to play ball, I began to see a lot of things. I had more similar experiences like that relative to tongues and interpretation. Not only that, I began to see some of the other gifts of the Spirit manifest. You know, prophecies, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, healings. Miracles. I'm seeing these things. More tongues and interpretation. I'm seeing these things. And I'm thinking, for crying out loud, man, there is definitely something going on that I never was taught. And I can remember that made such a powerful impact on me that I began to sit back and think, okay, these people in this church obviously love Jesus in a powerful way. They obviously love Him. I can't deny that. They want to praise Him. They want to worship Him. They want to glorify Him. And I'm seeing God move in ways that I had been taught He didn't move. Now, if that's going on, there's got to be more going on than what I know. Meaning, I'm going to have to sit back. Now listen to this. I'm going to have to sit back and reevaluate a huge amount of what I had always been taught. I'm going to have to sit back and reconsider a lot of the things that I had been told were scripturally correct. I'm going to have to rethink my position on a number of these issues. And I can remember one of the things that I did. I got my Bible. Now, I'm jumping ahead here a period of time. I got my Bible, and I began to read. And I began to take a look at all of what God had to say, particularly in the New Testament. I'm looking for a lot of what I had been taught in the past relative to the gifts of the Spirit and tongues and all the stuff. I'm looking for what I had been taught. And I have to tell you, some of the things that I had been taught, I couldn't find. And I'm thinking, okay, now wait a minute. If I can't find it, where'd it come from? And some of the things that I had been taught, as I began to read it, and I'm reading it in its entirety, and verses that had been used to teach against the gifts of the Spirit being for today, as I'm reading through the book, reading through the chapters and so forth, I realized, now wait a minute. Something doesn't seem right here. Because they always told me this verse meant such and such. However, if I read this whole thing, it's hard for me to make that verse say such and such. Something's not right here. Well, I can remember. I met the lady who was going to become my wife. We did get married, and at the time we met, she was not a Christian, but she ended up getting saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, which my mom had been praying about that. And I can remember, you know, I still had some questions. Well, we had a guy that was ministering at the church. Now, this is the church, the softball church, okay? Well, I stayed there at that church, and that's where I came back to the Lord. Well, we had a guest minister. And I went to him before one of the services. I said, you know, this whole thing about being filled with the Holy Spirit and so forth, I mean, what happens? I went, what do you do? And he said, well, you know, I'll give an invitation at the end. He talked with me a little bit about it. He said, and I'll give an invitation at the end. And then when you just come forward, because I'll give an invitation for anybody who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you just come forward. And I'll pray over you, lay my hands on you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you just receive it and, you know, receive the gift of tongues and so on and so forth. I said, well, okay. So, invitation time came, and, you know, I was nervous. All these people were there. Man, place was packed out, and I was just, you know, nervous. Well, anyway, I finally got the gumption and went up there. And he prayed, you know, and came over laying his hands on me. I am telling you, something happened. I mean, something just came all over me. Now, I don't like to talk a lot about what I felt, because too many people look for feelings as opposed to just using faith to receive what God wants them to have, what He's giving to them. But I'm telling you what, it was a powerful experience, a powerful experience. And that confirmed to me that a lot of what I had been taught in the past was wrong, even though they loved Jesus. And I'll spend eternity with them in heaven. But a lot of what I'd been taught was wrong. And a lot of the way they had used Scripture was incorrect. And that really started me on a path which ultimately led to tonight. And what we're going to be doing in this course is going back and taking a look at a lot of these things that have been taught over the years on both sides. The people that believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit and the people that don't. We're going to be looking at a lot of teachings that are presented to the body of Christ from both sides. Taking these teachings, putting them back in Scripture, to find out exactly what is going on in all of this, so that we can be equipped with God's Word, founded on the truth, and not having to rely on the traditions of man. Well, praise the Lord. Listen, let's take a break. Come back in about 9 minutes, and we'll pick up from this point and go forward.